Good morning, everyone. Greetings to each one in Jesus' name this morning. The title of my devotional this morning is Look to Jesus, and we're going to be reading Hebrews chapter 12, so you can turn there if you'd like. What got me started thinking about this was there in verse 1 where it says, laying aside every weight. Yesterday, welcome to Andrea and Kyler. Good to have you guys here. Sorry, I just now saw you. Yesterday, I was hauling off my old sidewalk. I had, with all our renovation work and stuff over there, poured a new sidewalk, and the old one had to come out. And it was these big concrete chunks. And unfortunately, there was two sidewalks to haul off because they had poured the second one. Just as the rain came pouring down, it totally wrecked it. And so they had to tear that one out. And so I had this huge pile of enormous chunks of concrete. So I loaded them on the back of a dump truck and hauled them off and tipped them down. And they were heavy. I mean, there were some relatively small chunks. I thought, surely I can heft those. But no, I could not. And so there's, these great big ones on the dump truck. When I tipped it up and it came sliding off and made this whoomp on the ground, you could feel the whole truck kind of. It's like it was breathing a sigh of relief too. And it made me think of this verse of laying aside every weight, these heavy things that I carry. And it kind of made me just ponder that throughout the day then as I was working. What are the weights that I have? I need to get rid of them, and I need God's help both to see what those weights are and then also to be rid of them. So let's read here Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Obviously, there's way too much in this chapter to dive into in depth. So I've just got a few thoughts that I pulled out of here. First of all, talking about the faithful witnesses. That's referring back to what we call the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. These heroes of faith that it talks about. And it says that they're the witnesses. What are they witnesses of? Well, what they're witnesses of is they're witnesses to the reality that it is possible to go through hard things and through uncertain times and still be faithful. And that's why it calls them faithful witnesses. But at the same time, Paul is very clear. He says it's not to the faithful that we look, but it's to Jesus. He says, look to Jesus. Faithful people can give us encouragement. They can give us advice. They can show us that it is possible to be true through hardship and through just the realities of life. But it's Jesus who gives us the true example to follow. It's Jesus whose life and redemptive sacrifice gives both meaning to and fulfillment in life. And as we go on through the chapter, there's continued exhortation to realize that the winnowing of the Lord is hard, but it's also profitable. It contrasts peace and holiness with bitterness and the attitude of Esau. What was the attitude of Esau? And if we look at the life of Esau, we see that his mindset was one of selfishness, it was one of recklessness, and it was one of instant gratification. It put an emphasis on what he wanted right now at the expense of the true prize. He lost a fortune for the sake of a full stomach. He was the complete opposite of a faithful witness who endures hardship for the sake of great gain. So looking to the example of Jesus gives us a blueprint for submitting to present humiliation, to suffering and uncertainty for the certainty of future joy. It also talks about the contrast of Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, or heaven. And it's, I think one of the things that it's saying here is that our goal is not an earthly monument. And we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, about some of these things, that we're not the so much of the, many of the Jews that Stephen was preaching to, he said, you've taken the temple and you started to worship the temple instead of the God that inhabits the temple or that inhabited the tabernacle. And so I think what Paul is saying here is don't focus on Mount Sinai, which is a monument that we can see right here and we can say, yeah, God was here at one time. But we focus on Mount Zion, on heaven, on the real living, indwelling presence of God that also carries with it a promise of eternity in his city. It's a heavenly goal. It's not just a present goal. It's heaven itself, where there will be perfect harmony, communion, and worship of God. And then the chapter closes with the reason for our need of Jesus' blood. It says, our God is a consuming fire. And without Jesus' blood on our lives, we too will be consumed. So in conclusion, let's look to Jesus. Be faithful in the hard things and turn away from temporary pleasures for the promise of everlasting treasure. When Bob Stauffer was here, he said, we worship the Lord Jesus for his purity, holiness, and example of dedication to the will of God. And I think that's a beautiful thought of looking to Jesus. Brian, would you come up here and let's stand for prayer.